1 Timothy chapter 1. No sign, I'm not going to preach. Just going to give a little bit of an introduction as we're going through our series on Sunday nights during the summer is, testify. You know, it's sharing our stories of grace that God has brought into our lives. And tonight our emphasis was in the preaching or the scriptures, just knowing yourself. So 1 Timothy chapter 1 kind of goes along with what we what I preached about this morning in the message in Romans 7. But Romans 1 Timothy 1:15 says this: "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And don't miss this part. Paul says, "Of whom I am the foremost." Within every one of our stories is that story of us being hell-deserving sinners who had wicked, corrupt hearts. And then God came in to our lives and saved us by His Spirit through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's all of our stories. All of us are sinners that God has saved, and our stories are to be used within our workplaces and where we go to school and to our friends and our families of what God has done in our lives. Some see it just played out in the way that you live, and others you get to tell of the man you used to be and the woman you used to be and how God came in and saved you and set you free. And so tonight we're going to hear two stories of two from amongst us that many of you have seen the whole transformation take place in their lives and have even seen them begin to reach their own family members and loved ones with the gospel. And so we're gonna pray for them as they come and share. They're both nervous, but God is going to use that to speak through them. And so I'm excited to hear from Richard and from Sarah as they share about what God has done in their lives. And then at the end, Sarah is going to also share about her mission trip. And then we're going to have those who are going to Oklahoma, we're going to have them come up front, and we're going to pray over them and commission them as they're going to be leaving Tuesday. And we want to be intentional about remembering them in prayer throughout the week. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then Richard's going to come up, and he's going to share what God has done in his life. So let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for a gospel that doesn't leave us the way it found us. It changes us. And it's been incredible to see what you've done in both Richard and Sarah's life. It's been incredible to watch. And one thing is sure is that the Spirit of God is... You've taken up residence in their lives, and you have changed them for your glory. And God, tonight as they share, I pray that as they come up weak and nervous, that God, your strength would be made known through them, God, that you would speak mightily and powerfully through them both. And as we pray in every service, if there's anyone here tonight who doesn't know you and the power of your resurrection in their own lives, that their stories and what you did and have done in their lives would draw them to Christ. And we just, again, pray you take away their nervousness, God. Give them that peace and boldly proclaim the gospel through them, we pray. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. So, Richard.
I'm Richard Neal, 29 years old. Most of you guys probably know me. I've been around here for a little while. I've got three kids, Haley, Mackenzie, and Zoe. Married to Michelle. She's pregnant, due in September. I'll tell you a little bit about where I come from and what's going on in my life. I grew up, I thought it was a normal home. I'm the oldest of four. We went to church, but it wasn't a focus in our life. It was, hey, we're not doing anything Sunday. Let's go to church, see some of our friends, and that was about it. But a big difference that I didn't really even notice until I was older, there were a lot of drugs and alcohol in my house. My parents, their friends, my grandparents even, and it was normal. It was something that we never really even thought twice about. You know, and that's how I grew up. And then at about 12 years old, I got into a fight at school. I lived in Louisville, and I got into a fight at school. You know, of course, I made a bunch of excuses about how it wasn't my fault, and you know, they were picking on me, and I was just protecting myself. But looking back, it was completely my fault. There was a lot of things that I could have done to keep that from happening. But anyways, that's what caused us to move from Louisville to Southern Indiana. So in a lot of ways, it was one of the best things that happened. But it was a huge difference. And one of the biggest differences is there was no more church. We didn't go to church anymore because it was too far away, and it was too much work to find another church closer to us, and we just didn't have time for that. Stayed out of trouble for a while, but you know, I found it soon enough. By the time I was 14, I was drinking myself. I was doing drugs. I was selling drugs. I was doing a lot of things that I hope my kids never ever do. By the time I was 15, Michelle was pregnant. You know, but that didn't change life a lot because Michelle's mom took care of Haley and pretty much let us go on living life pretty normal. Senior in high school, I got searched by police and came very close to going to jail for a long time. Just by the grace of God, I didn't. I squeaked out of that one, but I stopped selling drugs. It wasn't enough to get me to stop doing drugs, but I stopped selling them. Fast forward a little bit later, after high school, you know, I was working. Michelle actually went through nursing school, worked really hard, put herself through there. But this time we have not only Haley, but we have Mackenzie. So we're, you know, 19, 20 years old, two kids, and had no clue. Around that time, though, Michelle wanted to go to church. And you know, I look back and I see that maybe she was probably tired of the way things were going, tired of the drugs and the alcohol and the rest of the stuff that we were doing. But she picked a Baptist church. I'd never been to a Baptist church before. And went there. And, you know, of course, after we left, I didn't want to go. I didn't like it. I didn't want anything to do with it. I made fun of everybody there, and I made fun of the church. And we got a book telling us about what Baptists believe, and I tore it apart. I thought it was just foolishness. I thought it was just completely ridiculous. But I did talk a lot with a preacher there by the name of Paul. It was almost like I was trying to change his mind about being a Christian. You know, wanted to show him everything that was wrong with what he said. And Michelle still teases me because shortly after that, he moved back home to Alabama. And she says that I ran him out of Indiana. But you know, while we were going there to that church, there was a revival. And Michelle wanted to go. I, again, didn't want any part of it. But I didn't want her to go by herself. I figured if I went along and then I could make fun of things and I could keep her from it, then you know, I wouldn't lose her. She was saved that night. She went down front, and again, I thought I was losing her. I thought everything was just going to go away. So about that time, I told her, I'm not going. I found reasons we're not going to church. I pulled away from it, and for God's own reasons, Michelle stopped going too. She stayed with me, and about this time we have three kids now. Zoe was born. I can't remember if it was before or after Michelle was saved, but she was born right around the same time, and. I put an end to it. I had a temper. I look back and I was what I feel was a horrible person. I think that the things that I put her through were horrible. For a couple of years we dealt with that, and she didn't go to church. She stayed with me, and You know, we tried to keep living life the way that we were. A little bit later, the kids started going to Latchkey Daycare, which was here in this church. And, of course, Michelle took them and picked them up because I didn't want any part of it. I didn't even want to come in here. I didn't want to see anybody here or talk to anybody here. I just avoided it. The whole time, though, my kids are telling me that there's a pastor at First Baptist Church, and his name is Toby. And he's a little bit different, and he's not quite like anybody I'd talked to before. But they said I'd like him, that he was a smart guy that I could talk to. And Michelle even teased that I wouldn't run him out of the state, that she didn't think I could get rid of him. So this whole time, you know, I'd said no church. I said I didn't want any part of it. Had to be miserable for her. I can't imagine, since being saved, I can't imagine not going to church and not having any part of it. But she begged me. She begged me to come to church and to talk to Toby and to come here. And you know, I finally decided, well, you know, I'll go. And you know, I'll treat it just like the last church that I went to. And I'll get through it and they'll stop talking about it and it'll be over. You know, plus I kind of wanted people to think of me as a good person, and good people go to church. That's how I grew up. You know, we went to church because we wanted to be good people. So by that time, you know, I'd pretty much stopped drugs. You know, it's hard for me to justify doing drugs in front of your kids, and that's something, even though I wasn't on the right path at all, I still thought that was a little bit too much. Plus, I pretty much pushed my limits on keeping Michelle around, and she said no. So I stopped that stuff. But anyways, we decided to go to church. So as anybody that's been here more than once knows, Toby and Cade, anytime you hear them preach, you hear the gospel. You hear the complete truth. You hear that God became a man, he stepped into time, he lived a perfect life, and he gave his life so that every sin that I've committed, everything that I've told you about, everything that I haven't told you about, it's all paid for, every bit of it. And, you know, I'm not saying I hadn't heard that before, but there was one morning I was going to Sunday school classes and trying them out because good people go to Sunday school too, and you know, so yeah, I was trying out a new members class with a new believers class with Toby, and that week I don't even remember what he was talking about. I remember he told a story about a lion that won't eat lettuce, but he did say something. He got off track. Not that Toby ever gets off track, but he did mention something. He mentioned that Jesus gave his life to pay my debt. And I'd heard him say it 100 times, I'd heard other people say it 1,000,000 times, but that morning it slapped me in the face. It was like I'd never heard it before. I've heard it said a couple times that the gospel is foolishness to those that don't believe, and I believe that I was the prime example for that, that I didn't get it until all of a sudden God was ready for me to get it. But it doesn't stop there. I mean, that's when I was saved. Shortly after that, when I was ready to tell people that I was saved, because, you know, I started out embarrassed. Most of the people that I knew weren't saved, and I wanted to tell them about it, but then, you know, I still wanted my friends, and I still wanted those things, and in June of last year, towards the end of March of last year, I decided that I was telling people that I was saved, and shortly after that, in June, I told Toby that I was ready to tell everyone that I was saved, and I also told my wife that I was ready to make our life right and stop, you know, living in sin as much as we could. For 13 years, we lived together and weren't married, so thank God that she married me, and right after I became a Christian, which is, two of the most amazing things that could happen to me all at the same time. Toby, when I was talking to him about my testimony, he said, make sure to put some things in there about why you're changed, what God's done to change you. And the biggest change to me, the biggest deal is that I don't have to stop pretending. I started coming to church because I wanted people to think I was a good person. I don't really care what people think anymore. God knows, and I'm not a good person. There's a lot wrong with me, but Jesus paid that debt. And as long as I believe that, I'm okay. And that's why when Toby came to me and asked me if I'd share my testimony, that's why, even though I'm a nervous wreck, I just want other people to know how great it is. Even when you are having some of the biggest struggles in your life, shortly after I was saved, my wife had a miscarriage, and it was the worst thing that's ever happened in my life. But I had God there, and it made it okay. I mean, it was still hard, but it made it okay. And that's the biggest thing in my life that's changed. I don't have to turn to drugs and alcohol. I don't have to, lose my temper. I don't have to do those things. I can trust in God that He's going to lead me through whatever, whenever. And I don't know how else to describe that. So thank you, guys.
She walked forward, and she went through the new members class. And then my dad accepted Christ in March. And so all of us were new Christians in a year. They got baptized together. And it was just a crazy senior year. And then I ended up going to IU, and I was worried being a new Christian and going to a big school. And I ended up getting really involved in a Christian group called Chi Alpha, and transitioning into my mission trip. They ended up doing a mission trip this summer, and I ended up going with them. And it was their first mission trip as a group, and we ended up going to Northern Ireland, Londonderry, and it was amazing. I absolutely loved it. Missions are important in my life because I got saved on one. And so we really didn't know what we were going to do because it was our first time and everything was new to us. And we ended up going, and we didn't know what we were going to do there except work in the town, and ended up being like a vacation Bible school. They called it Kids Week. And these are our shirts that we had to wear every day. And there was three sites through the whole Kids Week. And there was Donnamana, Liz McGelvin, and Bogside. And I was at Bogside, and it was the rougher part of town. And they never had a program like this there. So it was a rough start, but the kids loved it. We had kids every day. Our numbers kept on growing, and their main focus was just reaching out to the lost people there, which I thought was awesome. And we just played with the kids every day. We did games, a skit over at David, and it was just amazing what to see with like the kids. And at night we would go into the community and do community service. And we were at a really rough part of town. They told us about a lot of gang violence that were there. And all of us were like, do we have to get out of the van? It's kind of scary. And everybody was super nice there. And it was super hard to leave there because everybody was so nice and the church was great. And we would do it every day, the kids program and then a community service. And Friday night we did street prayer, and we went out on the streets of Derry at midnight to 3 a.m. to walk around the bars, and they called it a cup of love. They gave out coffee, free coffee, soup, and tea to anybody that walked by, and we would talk the gospel to them and just keep them safe as long as we could. And it was just amazing just to see everybody just working together and helping out. And the last day that we had the kids group was Friday, and we gave out our shirts, and we had people sign them, all the like crew, and the kids wouldn't leave. Like, we had to leave the building, and they were still playing and like talking to us and asking us questions. And our leader, he was at Bogside, and he did like the final prayer, and he asked, he had the kids close their eyes and asked them who would want to learn more about Christ in their lives, and more than half of them raised their hand. And it was intense. And when we were leaving, they didn't want to go, and we got in the parking lot, and they were still there. Most of the kids walked over because it was in their neighborhoods. And it was just amazing how they called us the pioneers, because no one's ever done a group there. So it was just amazing how it impacted them so much. And then on the Sunday, the day before we left, we had, there was like a kid of the week at each place, and they won an Xbox. And our kid that won it out of our group, he was so excited. And I talked to him after the service, and he was like, "Are y'all going to do it next week?" And we're like, "No, we have to go back home." And he's like, "Oh, I'm going to miss you guys." And like hugged all of us. It was so sweet. And it was just amazing. I want to go back next year, because I do it each year. And just one thing that I got out of it the most is like how much they love their town and how much they're worried about the people that don't know Christ. And I want to bring it back here and up at IU. And it was a life-changing experience. Thank you.
They were nervous. They think, awesome. You know, that's what the gospel does. It changes our lives. And then from that point on, God wants to use us to reach out with the gospel and share the story of what God has done in our lives, believing that this gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believes it. You know, these young ladies, I see this row up here, and she wouldn't want me to say this, but she's a little evangelist that I think we should all look at as an example, and that's Drew, who these three ladies right here, I can remember Drew come to me very early on as pastor of First Baptist Church Henryville, and shared some names with me and said, "Will you be praying for these friends of mine who don't know Christ?" And I'm like, "Well, sure. Let me know if you need me to do anything, you know, and help you share the gospel with them." And no, she never asked me for any kind of help or anything. But she asked me to pray, and I just began praying for them. And lo and behold, the day came when they started showing up, you know, like, you know, these are the girls I've been telling you to pray for, you know, and just kept praying. And it was incredible to watch God save them. You know, these young ladies who went from being unbelievers to believers, Stephanie's one of them as well, and then they were just on fire for God. And they started trying to reach people in their school. And there's still, I believe, two ladies still on my prayer list that I'm still praying for. And one, you know, started coming. You know, it's like, look what God is doing. Why? Because a believer had the backbone and the audacity and the passion to share the gospel with their friends and invite them to come to church. And the day came when these young ladies, before you know it, what are they doing in their homes? Ask their parents sitting back there. They're preaching the gospel to their parents. before long, Miss Cheryl came, filled with questions. Scared we was brainwashing her daughter, right? But God ransomed this family. They're here every time the door's open. Cheryl and Clark came here their first wedding anniversary after they were believers. You know what they did? They came to church. They believed the gospel. God saved and changed their lives. And it wasn't long, and Miss Kayla was preaching the gospel to her mother and hanging up. Hearing the stories about what she was doing to reach them was incredible. She went to great lengths to reach her family with the gospel, hanging post notes all over the house with scriptures on them. And, you know, you think something small like that would not have an effect, but that's what Robert and Miss Debbie said that really had an impact on them, was that here are all these post-it notes about what, you know, about Christ and about the gospel. And lo and behold, the day comes when they walk through those doors, take up a seat in these pews, and began sitting under the preaching of the gospel. Long story short, they believed the gospel, and their lives have been changed and been saved. And even Robert being persecuted for his belief in Christ in his workplace. You know, why did that happen? Well, ultimately because God saves sinners. Amen? But it started with one young lady in her school inviting her friends, and just three families. And Stephanie's reaching out to her family as well, I know they've been coming her mom can. I don't want to leave her out, but her mom comes when she's not working, and God is working and moving in their lives as well. And my point is this: too many of us do nothing. You can't change anybody's life. Drew can't change anybody's life. I can't change anybody's life. But we can tell them this gospel that will radically change their lives. Two families, three families, you think about, as Sarah shared, and I'm going to shut up, I know I'm getting in preacher mode, as Sarah was sharing, you know, think about that. A family, her whole family, unbelievers, and in the space of that year, God saves the whole household. And everything has changed. That's how powerful this gospel is that we preach. That's how powerful this gospel is that often we're afraid to share. We think we don't know enough. We think we don't have enough answers to their questions. Listen, all you need to know is Jesus saves sinners, and tell them your story about what God has done in your life. And that's been the point of this time of sharing testimonies, as we're going to have more that's going to be sharing. You have your story. Share it. You know the gospel because you believed it. And watch what God will do through you. It'll blow your mind. And that's what we're going to Moore, Oklahoma for. That's why we went to Honduras, is to take this gospel. That's why Sarah went to Ireland. That's why we go, is to tell the world the greatest story ever told, to preach a gospel that we know is the power of God into salvation. But listen, we don't have to go to Moore to share the story. We don't have to go to Ireland. We don't have to go to Honduras to share the story. We go because we are mandated. But listen, we would be remiss if we went and didn't tell that very same story and preach that very same gospel here in our community, praying for God to use it to change people's lives. And so I'm going to ask you to join me in praying this, that God would save Henryville. Every one of us knows, we know people here. We need to begin praying for them by name specifically, but also praying, God, for your own name's sake and for your glory, save Henryville. And use us in any way you choose to accomplish that. So, if we could have the men that are going to Moore this week, as you've heard the call of the gospel, and I want you to know that after the service, if there's anybody here that wants to ask questions about the gospel, wants to believe the gospel, you can see me. Pink shirt, easy to pick out. Logan's in the blue shirt, and Cade is somewhere. Or you can see, just ask anybody, hey, I want to know about the gospel, and anybody in here that's a believer will be able to point you in the right direction and share with you. So, but the guys who are going to Moore, I'm scared to even start naming names. Tyler, Logan, you want to come on up here? Logan, Tyler, Henry, David. Who else? I know there are others. Who? Willie's in Chicago, but he's still going, right? So we'll pray for him. So this is it? All right, well, these guys are going to be leaving Tuesday. What time? Tuesday night, heading to Moore, Oklahoma, and they're going to go join up with the churches that I had met with last time and continue to build that relationship and help them to reach out to their community, come back. And then we're going to have another group. Logan announced all that to you this morning. And then eventually the whole church. We're going to encourage everybody to sign up and go. You take your family and load up with us, and let's go to Moore, Oklahoma, and help those churches reach out to their communities with the gospel, like so many churches come and helped us do. So don't feel intimidated to come up front, but I'm going to ask these men if they would to just stand here. I guess just sit there on the stairs, and if you feel led, come up here with me, and we're going to just pray over them as they're going and commission them to go to Moore, Oklahoma. So and I am going to get who's the team members that did this? Logan, I know you're one of them, and then Alan's one of them too. Alan, you want to pray over the guys since